Okay, there were a lot of questions about the beginning of the Or Sugya. I want to back up a little bit. We'll put the pieces together, and hopefully we can already get into the beginning of Tseis HaKochavim. So again, we saw yesterday in Machlokas how to read the first word in the Mishnah. Orla Ba'asar. How do you understand Orla Ba'asar? Is it the night or is it the morning? That's what it sounds like. Rav Huna says Nagi. Rav Huna says it means dawn. Sounds like Rav Huna would get up before Vasikin on Erev Pesach and he would do B'dikas Chametz early in the morning. And Rav Huna says no, Leili. So on the assumption, as the later Amoraim say, on the assumption that these early Amoraim were actually had a machlokas and din, that they really meant, that Rav Huna really meant morning, and that therefore they're actually arguing about what's pshat in the Mishnah, what time is being prescribed for B'dikas Chametz, is it a nighttime mitzvah or an early morning mitzvah? So that later Amoraim are pointing out here, Kasal Gadaita, later Amoraim point out that the middle Amoraim were assuming that the early Amoraim, Rav Huna, Rav Yehuda, are really arguing in din. They really mean night versus morning. It's a real machlokes in din. And based on that assumption, the middle Amoraim proceeded to try to shlug up Rav Huna or Rav Yehuda. Let's figure out, can we bring a raya, Lakan or Lakana? We're going to have a whole series of rayas. Dav Beis Amnaf, Dav Beis Amnaf, Dav Gimel Amnaf, beginning with Psukim. We're going to see, by the way, the Chalal, the first number of Blot, beyond the Sugi of Or, is very, very, very structured by time, chronologically structured. And instead of this Sugi, we start on Psukim, then after that, after we've done all the Rayas from Psukim, we're going to move on to Rayas from Mishnayas and Bryce's Rayas from Tanah. The first couple of Rayas are all from Psukim. The first Raya was a Mesva. Let's take a look at this again. Haboker Or HaNashim Shulchu. The Boker was Or, and then the people were sent. Morning came, and they're sent back to Eretz Canaan. So how do you translate that? So Alma Or Yimamahu. So don't you see that Or is day? Haboker Or. It means that day came. It was morning. It was Boker. So Boker is Or. So you see that Or, you see like Rav Huna, that Or means morning. Or does not mean night. It's not a euphemism. So the Gemara says, no. Miksiv ha'or boker. What you're saying would make sense, that Or is a reference to morning, if it would have said ha'or boker. But it didn't say that. It said ha'boker or. Ha'boker or ksiv. Since because of the word order, somehow we see command the Amar Tzafranar. It's like someone says, the morning became light. So what does this all mean? I mentioned the very end of Shir, I'd mentioned in passing Rabbeinu David. Let's read Rabbeinu David inside together. He makes it very clear. I know some of you guys are working that during Seder. Let's take a look together inside. Rabbeinu David right here. The bottom of page Dalet. Kasalka Daita Chaman Damar Nagi Nagi Mamish. So Rabbi David explains, Vaday Shaloshin Or Hu Loshin Ora, the Chol Makom LeDivrei HaKol. Everyone agrees. Rav Huna, Rav Yehuda, all the Amoraim agree. The word Or means Ora, means light. So what's this? What's Machlokas? Al Shrav Huna Hu Omer Sha Or Arba Asa HaOmer Mishnah Seinu Hu Kiilu Amar Yom Arba Asa. In our Mishnah, it can't mean light. You told me everyone agrees, now you tell me not everyone agrees. Well, what's going on here? What we're saying is, I would say it like this. If you open a dictionary, it used to be once upon a time there were books called dictionaries. You used to see books on your shelf. You have reference books on your shelf once upon a time. Now there are still dictionaries, but they're online. Okay, there are still paper dictionaries as well. And whether you consult an actual paper dictionary or an online dictionary, usually there'll be multiple definitions for a word. Now you open a dictionary, I have a word, and then I'll say, number one, this definition. Number two, that definition. So when you look under the word or in the dictionary, what do you see? Rabbeinu David says, everyone agrees that definition number one of the word or is light. That's what he says. Everyone agrees to that. Or means light. But what's definition number two? Sometimes or is not used to mean light, but it's used to mean a time of day. Just like if you look at the word watch, W-A-T-C-H in the dictionary. So you're going to see multiple meanings. It could be a watch, like the thing I'm wearing around my wrist that tells time. Or it can mean to watch. To watch something. To look at something. To guard something. That's a verb. Watch. To watch. It can even be a noun. Like to keep watch. As obviously there are two different meanings of the same word. W-A-T-C-H can mean a timepiece. Or it can mean looking at something. So, or also, it can mean light. Or it could be a reference to a time of day. So, everyone agrees that definition number one of or is light, is aura. But how about our Mishnah? Rav Huna says, or ar ba'asa, omer b'mishnah seinu, hu kilu amar yomar ba'asa. Ah, our Mishnah doesn't mean the. You cannot translate our Mishnah as the light of the 14th. It doesn't mean anything. Just like if I say keep watch, I don't mean hold on to your wristwatch. Obviously, I mean the other definition. So the question is, what is that other definition? So Rav Huna says definition number two of R is day. The Mishnah says R labasa is like say yomar basa. And why would he say that? Number one, shematzinu shakazav koros hayom R. We find that the psukim use the word R to mean day. And why? Al shema R shemo. Makes sense. You call it day because day is light time. Day is light time, as opposed to night, which does not have light. And that's why we would refer to the day as R. Okay? Ulufika who may be rayos may have boker R. And there you go. And here Rabbi David brings us right into from talking about the opening line to talking about our line. So that's the right. Boker R. Don't you see that or means daytime. Sha'achar, he explains, the top line of page on Amud Hay. Sha'achar shu samach la boker, since the word or appear samach right next to the word boker, near elo sha'ha or hu yom. It sounds like you have two synonyms, one after the other. Boker or. It was morning. And hadichia haisen, how do we get pushed away? What's the Gemara's response? Hadichia haisen be'elu, she'ein ha'or hazeh al kavanas yom. This doesn't mean, here the word R in that pasuk is not being used to mean day. It's not definition number two. Instead, it's definition number one. El he'ir ha'boker. It means the morning grew light. Miloshen ora mamash. The ridge of the definition number one. The haraya, she'eno shame dover. And the proof that it's not a shame dover, the name of a thing. In other words, the proof that it's not a noun. It's not definition number two referring to a time of day, but rather it's referring to the light, and it might be a verb. Shelo Omar, like the difference between watch and watch, watch the thing, and watch to watch, watching the verb. What's the raya? Shelo Omar or haboker, el boker or. Notice what he does. He made a very slight change to the language of the Gemara. He said it didn't say. And what our Gemara say? It miksiv ha'ar boker. It didn't say ha'ar boker. Or the David says it didn't say or ha boker. The light of the morning. The light of the morning. Yeah, that would mean ela boker or shu lashon avar. It's past tense. The morning became light. In other words, it's a verb. Kemanda amar tzafra nahar. It's exact translation to Aramaic. Tzafra, the morning, nahar, became light. And that apparently is an expression. In Aramaic. Oh. What's the raya by the, some guys were asking, look at Rashi, and even Rabbi David said, hey ear haboker. So someone asked, well, what? If it's really a verb, it should say, hey ear. So the truth is, if you look at it, there's a story in Sefer Shmuel, in Shmuel Aleph Perek Yudalid, where the word or, Aleph Avresh, is used to be a verb, to be light. And Yonatan, longer story, not for now. But Yonatan, we were talking actually before Rosh Hashanah, about the story of Yonatan, the Gemara in Chulin mentions the story of Yonatan in, I think, the 13th parak of Shmuel, where he had gone on this guerrilla mission and was incredibly, miraculously successful against the Plishtim. And he comes back, and meanwhile, unbeknownst to him, his father, Shaul, had imposed a shvua on the army that everyone has to fast that day as a form of tefillah that they should be successful against the Plishtim. not knowing that Yonasan had already taken care of business, or a lot of business. Yonasan comes back, and they're marching in the forest, it sounds like, and they pass by this enormous area full of honeycombs, and none of the soldiers want to taste, because they know the Shaul made them impose the Shavua, and no one's allowed to eat anything until nightfall. Yonasan doesn't know about it. He takes the stick, sticks it in the honey, and puts it to his mouth, and he feels great. And someone there says to him, "Go, what are you doing? You violated the Shavua." So he says, "Violated Shavua? What type of Shavua? This was amazing." He said, I was so starved. Shmuel Alv Perik Yudalad, Pasuk Chavtes. Yonasan says, "Ru'u ki oru einai, oru einai. My eyes became light." Hey, ear means to make something else light, to shine on something else. But for my eyes to become light is oru, not hifil, but paul, for those who are grammatically sensitive. If you don't know what that means, don't worry. If you do, that's what it means. So that's what the Rishonim are pointing out. That's what the Gemara is saying. Habokar ar is like oru einai. Habokar ar means the morning became light. So this is definition number one that everyone agrees to. Of course, ar means light. The question is, what's definition number two? And ar is used to mean day or night. Which time of day is it? Okay, so that's pshat in that Gemara. Then the Gemara goes on to say, Uchad de Rav Yehuda Amarav. Uch Rav Yehuda Amarav, and this is like what Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav. What did he say? Dam Rav Yehuda Amarav, La'olam Yikonis Adam Bechitov, V'yetze Bechitov. Yehuda quotes the name of Rav. This appears also to tell him the side, the Gemara in Bava Kama, the Gemara in Tanis. You should always enter town when it's a good time and leave when it's a good time, meaning, Rashi explains, you should, the Torah, Pesukim in Parshas Bereishis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says Ki Tov the first time about the light. You should always start traveling when it's already light and stop traveling when it's still light. Okay, so that's good advice. The Tosis gets involved, the Chiddush Aran get involved, that there are two different versions of this. Chiddush Aran sort of streamlines it a little more than Tosas does. Trey Gavni, Trey Taimi, Shaykh Milsa. Two reasons why this might be true. So there are two reasons why you have to be careful. One is you might have if you don't know the territory, and the other is you're traveling alone at night, it's dangerous. And it can be dangerous because you're traveling alone at night, it can be dangerous at night because you don't know the territory. And that's what he points out. The Bnei Yosef, the pasuk that we're quoting, Habokar and Ashim Shulchu, they were a big group. They weren't afraid of mazikim. They were not afraid of mazikim. Whether mazikim means supernatural shadim, or whether mazikim means natural human bandits, either way, they're a big group of strong people. It wasn't someone traveling alone at night. They weren't worried about mazikim, but it was unfamiliar territory. It's unfamiliar territory. There could be, as the Rambam quotes, prasim. There could be a ditch in the ground. There could be, if you're driving, even if you're driving a paved road, you're driving a place for the first time, as some of you know, right? You're driving unfamiliar territory, you're not sure where the turns are, you're not sure how the road goes. So especially if you're not so experienced, it might not be the smartest thing to drive on an unfamiliar road for the first time at night. It'd be harder to be attuned to which way to turn. Certainly, you're hiking in the forest, you're not going to know, you're on a mud path, dirt path, and you're not going to see all the nicks in the road. So travel during the day. That's what the Rambam points out. Tosfos is also, there are two different sugyas of this discussion. Because one has to do with like the Ache Yosef. If it's unfamiliar territory, even if you're a big group, you're worried about traveling at night, you're not going to know the way well, and you're going to get into trouble. And the other is, even if you know the area, but if you're traveling alone at night, we're worried about mashchisim, mazikim. Again, either we mean supernatural shadim, or we mean people who are up to no good, who will start more likely to start up with someone at night by himself as opposed to during the day or as opposed to in a big group. Okay, now the Marsha has a discussion about, a little bit, does Rashi disagree? Tosfos says, Tosis, that's Tosis Yikonis. If the Ran La'olam Yikonis, then it's Tosis Yikonis. Talk about the two different concerns. Tosis relates to that's why here it's La'olam Yikonis Bichito V'yetze Bichito. Should always enter when it's light and leave when it's light. Why are you starting with the entering? You don't start a trip by ending. To be Nichnas comes second. You leave your town and then you arrive at a different town. The Tosis is bothered. The Ronald talks that how come it's reversed? Is it just because that's a smoother way to say to come in to go out, or is it because it's the case we're talking about? We're talking about the people who don't know the way. Okay, so that's what they work on. Okay, the previous Tosis points out this is some guys got caught on. Uchad Rav Yehuda lo koya may de mishani kedamr tzafer nahar. Tosis points out. This isn't this quote from Yehuda Rav is not flowing off of the shakel of the Tarya. Right, we just gave one pshat in the pasuk, another pshat in the pasuk. No, it doesn't mean morning. Daytime. It just means the morning got light. So Tosis says this is nothing to this is a new idea. Lo koya ma'ida meshani kedamr tzafer nahar. Milsa ba'api nafshi umefarish maheshmiyon ma'pasuk kulyam. Tosis says we're just backing up to say. Now that we worked on this detail of how do you translate the word or in the pasuk, let's just back up and ask the larger question, which is why does the pasuk have to bother telling me this at all? Gemara Megillah tells us, Daf Yudalad, one of the most fundamental rules for learning Tanakh, in terms of methodology for learning Tanakh, that Gemara is probably one of the most fundamental. The Gemara says that there were over 1 million Nevi'im over the course of the thousand years of Nevuah, Jewish Nevuah, from Moshe to Malachi. There were over 1 million Nevi'im, the Gemara says. 1.2 million Nevi'im. Loads of Nevi'im. Really? The Gemara says, really? You open the Tanakh, you hear about 50-some-odd Nevi'im and Nevi'os. That's it. 48 Nevi'im, 7 Nevi'os. There were over 1 million Nevi'im. We never even heard of most of them. And the Gemara goes on to say, by the way, the ones who you have heard of, who says you've heard of most of their Nevu'os? We only have one parak of Ovadia in Treyasar. 21 psukim or so. Is that all the Nevu'ah that he gave? Gemara says it could be he gave Nevu'ah tens of times, maybe hundreds of times. Even Yeshayahu, a big sefer, it could be he said many more Nevu'ahs are now in the Tanakh. The Gemara says, well, what makes it into the Tanakh? What's the rule? There are so many of them, 99.9% of them never even get mentioned. So what's the rule? The Gemara says, Nevu'ah shehutzrecha l'daros nechtava, Nevu'ah shelo hutzrecha l'daros lo nechtava. The rule is, most Nevi'im were just giving Nevu'ah, Hashem had a message for the people of that time. So he sends a Navi to tell them something that's relevant to them. But it's not relevant to me, and it's not relevant to you. So if the Navi said something 3,000 years ago that's only relevant to his audience, so Hashem did send a Navi to give a message to that audience, but there's no reason they should hear the Tanakh, because what does that have to do with me? Now, that happens to be a very powerful tool, as I was saying before, in learning Tanakh, because it means anytime somebody's in Tanakh, it already passed this test. Anything in the Tanakh is a Nevuah Shehutzrecha L'Doros, which is important, because that means everything is relevant. It doesn't always seem that way. So I have to figure out how. So I have a story of an episode in Tanakh. Maybe it's a story in the Tanakh, not sure what it has to do with me. Or maybe I'm going to be my brother. And he has a message from Moab. Why is it important for me to hear the message Hashem was sending Moab over 2,000 years ago? I don't know, but I better figure it out. Because if it's in the Tanakh, it means it's relevant to you and me and him and her. So that's what Tosis is saying. The Gemara was asking, this last piece is asking Bechal, why does the Torah have to tell me when they left? Okay, we could handle, does the word or mean morning, does the word or mean light, whatever it is, clearly they left in Boker. Who cares? Does the Torah usually tell you when people left on a trip? Vayetze Yaakov. I don't know. There, maybe, yeah, a little bit. Usually, I don't know. Moshe goes to speak to Moshe. Benos Salafcha, come to speak to Moshe. Do we know what time of day it was? Ah, good, very good, very good. Here's a man who was paying attention to Lane earlier this week. So it does say when Moshe left for the Akedah. As a matter of fact, that's the Gemara, the Pasuk Lane the second day of Rosh Hashanah. And the Gemara, maybe you already saw that Gemara also, the Gemara actually is going to talk about Dav Dalet Amar Alef and Pesachim. How come it tells me that Moshe Avram be left in the morning? Who cares? The Gemara says, oh, I'll tell you why you care. That's a source for Zrizin Makdim LeMitzvos. That's a source for Moshe Avram Avinu, excuse me. Everybody knew he had a mitzvah to do. A mitzvah that he could have been very understandably unexcited to do. Ah, exactly. So there the pasuk tells him the time, but it teaches me Zrizin Makdim LeMitzvos. How about here? What did he teach me here? Habokar Hanashim Shulchu. Why is it important they left in the morning? So there has to be a message. What's the Tzorech L'doros? That's what the Gemara was working on. We already dealt with the or issue. Now, once we mention the pasuk, let's mention a larger issue. Why is this here at all? And the answer is, unlike Avraham Avinu, where to tell you he left in the morning instead of waiting until the afternoon. Or later in the morning. Here it's Adrab. He went in the morning, they left in the morning as opposed to leaving in the middle of the night. They really want to get to their father. They want to go back home. But they wait until the morning because the Olam Yetze Ad Nebechito. So that's what Tosa says. Then Marasha has a whole cheshbon. Maybe it does, is Lashitoso. Maybe he has a whole, you can take a look if you want. The whole cheshbon. Maybe it should come out. The chok is Rav Huna of Yehuda would be whether they left Alos HaShachar or Netzachama. Okay. So maybe Lushitasa. Okay, Pashup Shah is like Tosis. Marsha thinks that Rashi disagrees. Lefi Darko, Limdacha Kasav Derechet. The Marsha thinks that Rashi is trying to say it's all a continuation. It's not so clear. Lefi Darko can mean Agav Orche. Just saying it's a tangential point. Okay. Well, you can take a look at the Marsha. So that's the first attempted riot. From the Pasuk by the Ache Yosef, Haboka Or, and we said, we thought that was a proof that Or means day, and we said, no, it just means light. And the Pasuk, it happens to be teaching me an important Yesod in terms of safety. That's what we're talking about. Even though I really would rather travel earlier, it's a pain to have to wait around. And in case this doesn't sound so practical, let's translate. Who's worried about the Mazikim. So let's translate this. They really want to get home already. I can't leave. You tell me I can't leave until 6 o'clock in the morning. Why? Safety regulations. Yes. Safety regulations. It's a pain to wear a mask. I'd rather. Of course, it'd be simpler not to wear a mask, not to socially distance. Okay. And that's exactly Psachin Dabet. Hutzrich L'doros. This is mamish for right now. Right? Sometimes being safe is a pain. So it's a pain to have to buckle up. Like if my suit all crumpled, I'd rather just, okay. Sometimes it would be more convenient not to maintain safety regulations, but you need to. And that is a pasuk in Chumash, many pasuk in Chumash, and here is one of them. One of the safety regulations is it's often safer to travel during the day, to schedule yourself to only leave after light and to already park for the night before dark. Again, as Tosas and Maran point out, either the concern of Mazikin, the concern of the Pachasim. Okay. And then the next Raya, what's the next Raya? The next Raya, Mesevei, Uka'or Boker Yizrach Shemesh. Uka'or Boker Yizrach Shemesh. A pasuk in Shmuel. The sun will shine Ka'or Boker. Now, why is this a better Raya than the previous one? Yeah. Right, exactly. The way we knocked out the previous one, it said Haboker Or. So here we have a pasuk that says Or Boker. And now it has the word Or before Boker. So this is a raya that we're talking about morning. Ka Or Boker Yizrach Shemesh. Alma Or Yimamu. So you see that Or is day. So Gemara says no. Miksiv Or Boker. Uki Or Boker Ksiv. Like the day, the light of morning. V'hachi ka'amar uka'or boker ba'olam hazeh ke'en zrichas shemesh l'tzadikim l'olam haba. Uka'or boker yizrach shemesh. That was the pasuk. Uka'or boker yizrach shemesh. Like or of morning, the sun will shine. So often it sounds like we're talking about morning. Or and boker mean morning, and that's when the sun shines. So he says, no. This is a more complex pasuk. We're saying ki or boker. There's an equation here. The or of boker is like Yizrach Shemesh. The light of morning is like equals the sunshine. How does that work? Ukaor bokrim ol mazeh ke'en zrichas shemesh l'tzadikim ol maba. The light of morning in ol mazeh is like sunrise for the tzadikim in ol maba. Oh, so once again, what was the Gemara's answer? Same as before, this is definition number one, not definition number two. This word R is not a reference to time of day. This is a reference to light. The light of morning. We're saying the light of morning will be like the sun shining. So what does that mean? And remember, we're talking about Alam Hazeh versus Alam Haba. So we assume that whenever we have an Alam Hazeh, Alam Haba is going to be way, way, way greater. Now that is a... That's a Mishnah Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah Pirkei Avos. I'm gonna take a question in a second. Mishnah Pirkei Avos says that one whiff of the pleasures of Olam Haba are more than all the pleasures of Olam Hazeh. Why should that be true? Why is that logical? So we'll get to the first Pirkei Mesil Sharm. We'll understand some more as follows. To make a long story short, Ramchal develops several Sfarim. An idea which Rav Arya Kaplan points out in the footnotes to Derech Hashem is already appears in Rav Sadia Gaon, Emunas V'Deis, 1,000 years ago. He says, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create people? This is all up to the Masil Shara. I'm giving paragal. Why are we here? What's the purpose? So there's a lot to say about this, but to give the beginning of an outline, Ramchal says, look, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't need to create us. God doesn't have any needs. But he chose to create us. Why? So to the extent that we can understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was interested in doing good. He was interested in being beneficent. So in order to do good for others, you need two things. Good and others. So the others are us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates us to be recipients of his hatava, of his goodness. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to create, design a forum, design a context for gifting us with goodness, for showering us with goodness. And that's going to be a context. Kadosh Baruch Hu is called Yachol. Kadosh Baruch Hu can do whatever he wants. So he's going to create a context. The divine engineer will design something that's optimized for maximum pleasure, maximum goodness. So you stop and you say, 1 second, something that doesn't add up here. You look around Olam Hazeh, sometimes it's pleasurable, sometimes it's not. It's often tough. He says, yeah, we're not done yet. HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates Olam Haba. Olam Haba is designed to be the Olam HaTana. By HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Kol Yachol, he designed the ultimate optimized context for maximum enjoyment. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose, the way he designed the world, one of the design principles by HaKadosh Baruch Hu's choice, is that we enjoy the Tov that much more if we are, in some sense, the masters of it. If we're not just getting a handout, we're actually creating our hatava. Yeah. We could be at least junior partners with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and creating our Olam Haba, we'll enjoy that much more deeply. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses to create a second context for people to exist in, which is not designed to be a place of maximum pleasure. It is designed to be the place of maximum challenge, maximum opportunity to be challenged and have the chance to create Olam Haba. That's what we call Olam Hazeh. Olam Hazeh was not optimized to be the ultimate Olam HaTanug. It was optimized to be the ultimate Olam HaNisayon. And that is certainly the case. You stop and think for just a moment. Right? Life here is full of challenges. Big challenges, small challenges. Everything has its own opportunity. Everything has its own Nisayon. Right? Pretty clear. This world is full of Nisayonos. So, it's pretty exciting to know That's not a design flaw in Olam Hazeh. That's the way it's meant to be. That means it's working. Once you realize, as Ramchal points out over the course of Paragal, this is not WYSIWYG. This is not what you see is what you get. There's more to life than what you see. You're only seeing stage one. You've seen Olam Hazeh, but Olam Hazeh makes sense as a part of the larger Olam Hazeh, Olam Haba set. It's a kit. Kadosh Baruch Hu created two Olamos. Olam Hazeh feeds, if it was just Olam Hazeh alone, that would be pretty depressing. Olam Hazeh is a way of creating, crafting Olam Haba. Ah. So now, let's try the following thought experiment. Imagine all of the goodness in Olam Hazeh. Every pleasure. Imagine you could take every pleasure in Olam Hazeh. top of things, definitely. Legal, illegal, moral, immoral, licit, illicit, every single pleasure. Why is steak better than broccoli? Maybe some of you say broccoli is better than steak. Okay. I'm in the title. Both of the titles is right. Why a well marbled steak better than overcooked canned spinach? I think we can all agree. Right. Solid Angus beef, a well marbled, well aged hanger steak is definitely better than overcooked, waterlogged canned spinach. Why? We could get into the details of the umami and the enzymes. Ultimately, it tastes better because HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it that way. Any pleasure in this world is enjoyable because HaKadosh Baruch Hu designed it that way. Illegal pleasures are also that way. The reason why illegal pleasures are enjoyable is not HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't not notice it. He created it for some purpose or another. Maybe for any science. Some of the legal pleasures are here to make life happier or for whatever other purpose HaKadosh Baruch Hu had. But all the pleasures in this world are incidental to the design purpose of Olam HaZeh. So it stands to reason that if you take every single pleasure in this world and compress into one dot, I hesitate to say one pill, but one dot, all the pleasure in this world, that's a lot of pleasure. It wouldn't add up. All that is incidental, all that is created by Ribbono Shel Olam, it's incidental to the purpose of Olam HaZeh. Whereas Olam Haba was created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be the Olam HaTanug. We can't imagine what that Tanug is, but it stands to reason that it's way more than the Tanug of here. All the pleasure of Olam HaZeh compressed into a single point. That's incredibly pleasurable. Logically would not equal one whiff of Olam Haba. That's what the Mishnah says. Yafa Shachas. And that's what our Gemara is saying also. The Gemara interprets that's what the Pasuk is saying. This, the light of Olam Haba will be way more than the light of Olam Haza. How is that? But now look inside again, right? The whole point, the Gemara's answer to the Pasuk is saying, for real, is the light of Olam Haba, Tzadik, will be way more than the light of Olam Haza. How does that go? The light of the morning, Olam Haza, would be like Zricha Shemesh al Tzadikim Olam Haba. It would be like sunrise for Tzadikim. Now, if the sunrise of Tzadikim is very, very bright, what's Or Boker? The Tosis is bothered. Or Boker sounds like maybe the light at the very beginning of the morning. That's less than sunrise. Are we downgrading? Are we saying Tzadikim's sunrise in Olam Haba will be only as light as dawn in Olam Hazeh? That's a downgrade. The whole point is that the sunrise of Tzadikim will be super, even sunrise will be super, super bright. So that's why Tosis actually says, Ka'or Boker, Pirush Rabbeinu Tam, Hainu Ad Chatzi Hayom, that means the middle of the day, even though it's not the Pashup Shad in Ka'or Boker, it must be, he brings a raya that Boker, from a Gemara in the fifth parak of Pesachim, which Rabbi Katz has offered to learn with the Chevro interested in starting the Kachim Prakim, that Boker goes all the way until Chatzos. He says, Ke'ein Zeh, says Tosis, Dibasel Ka'ar, that type of overwhelmingly brilliant light, midday sun, Yiyet, Chila, Sricha, Sashemesh, that'll be the beginning of sunrise, Hanei Tzachama, the Tzadik Masid Lavo. The maximum light in Olam HaZeh, noontime light, it'll be just the beginning, that'll be the edge of the story for Tzadikim Olam Haba. Right? That's the same as Mishnah Perek Yalos. Now you look at Rashi doesn't seem to say that. Rashi seems to say Or Boker means Prashipshah, which is dawn. But then, how does this work? So the Masha, I'll leave you with this. So the Masha says that he says it's not about the amount of light. For the calculus people here, it's not about y, it's about y prime. He says, yeah, I know that dawn is not so bright. But you know what's important about dawn? At dawn, it's starting to get light, and it's going to keep getting brighter and brighter and brighter. It's accelerating. Once the sun rises, it's light. Right? if you're up a half hour after sunrise, it's not going to change that much over the next couple of hours. In Olam Hazeh. But the Zrichas HaShemesh for Tzadikim Olam Haba, that's going to be like Or Boker, it'll be like dawn here, in that that's just the beginning. It's going to grow and grow and grow and grow and grow. So that's how the Marshal interprets, I think, to explain Rashi, instead of giving Tosis his teretz, Or Boker means Chatzos Hayom, that's very, very bright. He says, Adraba, Or Boker means Kipshuto, it means the light of dawn, and not that, that it's not so much, but the point is not where it's at right now. The point is that it's at the beginning of a growth spurt. So the tzaddikim, their sunrise will be just the beginning of a growth. It's going to grow, 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 way, way, way beyond that. Okay, so those are the first two riots the Gemara attempted to bring and rejected. The third one will be the most obvious one. The third one will be a pasuk in Bereishis Perek Aleph. That's the third riot. The Farish, or is Yom. It doesn't get clearer than that. Or does it? So that sounds like it's an absolute watertight raya. In order to get out of it, the Gemara is going to make a comment about Tesa Kochavim and Yom and Laila. It's going to open up a whole sugya of Ben Hashmash, that we'll get to Mirtz Hashem tomorrow.